Hey, this is Kaylee Moore.
And this is Paul Jarvis.
And welcome to the Creative Class Podcast.
A podcast for freelancers.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yay!
We'd like to thank our sponsor and friends at FreshBooks, purveyors of fine cloud-based accounting software.
FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our listeners.
Yay! So check them out at freshbooks.com/cc and enter Creative Class in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Have you ever been in a situation where you've presented work to a client and they've been like, no, I don't like this?
I have. It's a lot of different things. It's frustrating. It makes me feel bad. I feel like I didn't do a good enough job. And I think this is kind of a versatile problem for a lot of different freelancers, because feedback is just part of the equation when you're working with a client, especially when they're a new client and you two are just getting familiar with each other's work and your needs and what both parties need out of the working relationship. So my short answer is yes, I have been there, and I'm trying to be better at handling the feedback and also teaching the clients that I'm working with how to give the right kind of feedback. And then also, I think there's a third part of it too. I think you have to learn to look at feedback also as an indication of, do I want to work with this person again in the future?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really kind of a big topic to tackle, and there's lots of things that go into this. So, I mean, I want you to start, because I want to hear what your thoughts are on the first part of it. You know, how do you handle feedback, especially when it's negative feedback? How do you take that gracefully and not damage the working relationship?
Yeah, because obviously positive feedback is pretty easy to deal with.
Right.
I am the best, right? But
Thank you.
Negative feedback or constructive feedback. Yeah, like you said, it's basically all the feels. Because you question, like, oh, am I good enough as a freelancer? Like, do they not like me? All this kind of stuff. And I think the first thing to kind of do, and like, definitely it's easier said than done, is to kind of try to figure out a way in your brain to separate you from your work. So if somebody doesn't like your writing or my design, it doesn't mean they don't like us. It doesn't mean they don't trust our expertise. It just means in this one instance, for this one time, what we did was off the mark. And I think that, like I said, that is so much easier said than done, to separate, like, you aren't your work. But it definitely, especially when you're freelancing, like, it definitely feels like you are, because you put so much into the work that you do. So I think that that's definitely like the first part of it, is kind of dealing with like the mental strain of just getting negative feedback, especially if it's in person. I don't know if you've ever gotten negative feedback in person.
No.
Super awkward.
Ooh.
Like, it's really awkward, but it happens. It comes up. Like, if you get it in email, it's a bit easier. It still kind of sucks, but it's a bit easier. But I think the main thing, and what has kind of helped me with getting feedback, because it doesn't matter like how good you are as a freelancer, there's going to be a time when a client doesn't like something that you've done. That's just the way that it works. And so the way that I kind of think of it now is that I start to think about it not as a problem with the work, but as a problem with communication. So either they didn't communicate in a way that I understood that resulted in the work not being what they assumed it would be, or I didn't properly communicate what I was doing for the specific deliverable that I gave them, and they're shocked that it isn't what they thought it would be. So for me, bad feedback or negative feedback always is a communication issue, not a work issue.
That's interesting. I think that that's important to remember. And I think you also have to just keep in mind that in 99% of situations, it's business. It's not personal. And like you said, just because one person gave you one instance of negative feedback, that doesn't mean you should like hang up your hat and quit. Because it's so easy to catastrophize, especially negative feedback. And if there's a lot of it, like if in my case, if I open a Google Doc that a client has sent to me and it's full of red comments, that on the screen to me is like, oh my gosh, I'm terrible. But sometimes it's just notes. Sometimes it's, we need something different. It's never a personal attack. I mean, I hope it's not a personal attack. I don't think that it is. But yeah, I think you really have to separate and remember that, right, it's a communication problem. It's something that needs to be worked on both sides of the equation. It's not just you. So that kind of leads me into the next question I have for this is, so how do you teach clients to give you better feedback and improve that communication between the two of you? What do you need to tell the client so that they are helping you deliver better products?
I love this question. And I love the word catastrophize that you just used. I don't think I've ever heard that before. It's like, that's a good word. So
yeah, it's kind of my life in a word.
Good job. So I think that part two of how to teach clients how to give better feedback, I think is really important. And this is obviously something that we cover in creative class, but I'm totally cool to talk about it now because it's that important. And the fact is that clients, it's not their job to know how to give a freelancer feedback. Like, it's not in their job description. Their job is their business. So I think it's up to us as freelancers to at least kind of guide them a little bit in how to give the right feedback that moves a project forward and that keeps momentum going, mm-hmm. right? So you have to kind of show your clients, like, this is the type of feedback that is really going to work and get the best, because both sides, and this is the thing with feedback that, again, is much easier said than thought about, is that you both want the same thing. The client wants an awesome project so their business can do better. You want an awesome project because you want it to be easy and not stressful with the client. You want something good for your portfolio that has a success story attached to it. So you both want things to work out really well. Mm-hmm. So in essence, you're on the same page. But where feedback can kind of fall apart is when clients get, and we talked about this either in the last episode or the episode before, the differences between being thought of as a technician and being thought of as a professional freelancer. So I think that this really relates to feedback, because if a client thinks that their job is to just tell you what to do, the type of feedback they're going to give you isn't going to be good. Like, it's going to be change this word to this word, or change this hex value of a color to this hex value. And that's very prescriptive. That's telling you how to do your job. And that is kind of stressful, because I think we've all been there where clients have been like that. And it doesn't let you do the job that they're paying you for. And you brought this up in whatever episode we were talking about this in, is the client hired you because you're an expert at the thing you do. So if a client doesn't let you be an expert, if they're just prescribing what all the feedback is, then it's not a good thing. Whereas if they're describing feedback, if they're being descriptive instead of prescriptive with feedback, and I'm totally talking a lot about this because it's something I feel like so strongly about, but if they're being descriptive with the feedback, then what they're going to do is tell you why your work isn't working and then let you pitch a solution to fix it. So descriptive feedback, like something like, the word poor doesn't feel like the right tone for my brand. Kaylee, what should we change this to? That's really good descriptive feedback, because then you get to lean on your expertise as a writer to think of something better. Or if a client is like, that shade of blue isn't the right, doesn't feel vibrant enough for my brand, the visual language of my brand, then I could be like, okay, well, let's try a brighter blue. And I would pitch what the brighter blue is. So they describe what the problem is as feedback, and then you pitch what the solution is. And I think it's tricky to teach clients this, but I think it's really like the success of a project depends on it. Not to put the weight of the world on your shoulders, listeners, but like the entire project kind of depends on clients being able to give you really good feedback, or the project might go off the rails if they give you really bad feedback.
Yeah. And I think that dovetails really nicely into the third part of this, which if the client is able to look at what you're telling them as prescriptive feedback versus descriptive, and they can learn from that and then shape their comments based on, this is what I need from you, this is what is not so helpful. If they can do that, that's great. And that means you can continue working together in the future. They're a good match for your work. You guys are communicating well. But if they're not, and they continue to deliver negative feedback or feedback that's really nitpicky or that is just downright mean, I've had that happen before too. Those are people you don't want to work with again. So maybe you finish the project and again, you make a note in your spreadsheet or whatever you use that the feedback process was very difficult. So if you have the option to choose between working with that client and working with a different client, you know that you're going to want to try working with somebody else because the process was difficult. The communication wasn't working well.
So you're racing against the clock to try to wrap up three different projects. You're prepping for a meeting later in the afternoon, and all of this is happening while you're trying to tackle a mountain of paperwork. Welcome to life as a freelancer.
Challenging? You betcha. But our friends at FreshBooks believe the rewards are so worth it.
The all-new FreshBooks is not only ridiculously easy to use, it's also packed full of features like being able to create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds,
setting up online payments with just a couple of clicks and getting paid up to 4 days faster,
and being able to see when your client has looked at your invoice and put an end to the guessing game.
FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our beautiful listeners. To claim it, go to freshbooks.com/cc and enter creative class in the How Did You Hear About Us section. I like that. And I think, do you keep track of like how projects go, like client to client, so you know that you can like look back on those notes?
Yeah, I have just really, really brief notes. I have a spreadsheet that I started from 3 years ago when I took creative class the first time. And it just kind of outlines what the project was and what we worked on and how it went. And I enter the feedback that I collect at the end of the process too. So it's not just about, did I like working with the person? Did they like working with me? So, you know, you have to think about the feedback from both sides of the equation and make notes of that, because, I mean, you're probably not going to get hired again if the client didn't enjoy, you know, working with the type of feedback that you were asking for. There were communication problems, but having that document that you can refer to and really look back on how did that go, I think that that's really helpful for when you're looking at future projects and you're looking at your mental bandwidth or the space that you have for projects in the future. And being able to better pick who you want to work with, because it's really hard to just remember off the top of your head, especially if you're working with a lot of people. It's hard to always remember exactly how that went. So having a document like that is super helpful.
Yeah, especially if, and I've had this happen to me, which is why I can bring it up, if the client is like super nice person, but they're like the worst for feedback, you remember like, oh, they were so nice to work with. And then if you don't have those notes and you get in the project again, you're like, oh, I totally remember.
Right. Or maybe they paid you a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you're like, sure, I want to work with them. And then you're like, wait, pump the brakes. That did not go well last time.
Exactly. I remember that it seemed like a lot of money in the beginning, and it ended up not actually being a lot of money when I break it down because of the amount of work that was involved in working with that client.
Exactly.
So I think a lot of things with work and with doing projects, a lot of it comes down to like how you communicate and how you interact with the client, like probably as important or maybe even more important as the actual work that you're doing. Do you agree? Disagree?
I do. It's such a huge part of the process. And it's really the core of the back and forth between what you're working on as you're in the project, when you're really down in the work. So, you know, that's going to be a huge part of how the project turns out, of how you feel about the work that you're doing, how the client feels about the work that you're doing. It really just ties to all of those things.
Yeah. So I think that, unless you have anything else to add,
I think the big thing to remember, I personally really, really struggle with this. I was actually just talking to another freelancer this morning about this, but I think you have to remember you are not your work. And that's really hard to remember sometimes, because when you're creating and you're doing something that, you know, uses a creative skill that you have, it feels very personal. And it's just important to remember that, like we've discussed before earlier in this episode, it's usually not a personal attack. Feedback is not geared towards hurting your feelings. It's about making the project better. So it's important to keep that at the very, very front of your mind and to not get so emotionally impacted by it, and to really try to think constructively and strategically as you're dealing with this type of information from clients. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Totally. And I think that it's sometimes okay to be wrong. And I think a lot of times we think like, oh, this client hired me because they think I'm an expert. So if I admit that I was wrong with the choices I made, then they're not going to think I'm an expert. I think what I've come to realize is that experts aren't people who are always right. Experts are people who question whether or not they're right and accept the times when they aren't. Mm-hmm. So I've had a bunch of times when a client has been like, based on what we've talked about, this totally seems like the wrong direction. And like, I've thought about it from like the perspective of like the goal, the business goal for the project, the end users. And I've had to come back and be like, you know what? You're right. Mm-hmm. Like I was off the mark with this. And no time ever when that happened, did a client say like, okay, well, you're fired. Like you're not the expert I thought you were. They're like, okay, cool. Like, let's try this again kind of thing.
Yes.
So just because you want to be treated like a pro freelancer or an expert, you can, it's still okay that you're off the mark sometimes. And if you admit it and talk about like where the communication failed, then I don't think a client's never going to be mad about that or upset about that. Right. And if they are, they're not good people to work with.
Right. Don't work with them again. Yeah. You don't need them.
Especially. Yeah. Like, yeah. And that's kind of the other thing that I just wanted to briefly mention. Like, what the type of feedback we're talking about, even if it's constructive or negative, isn't like insults or personal stuff. Like if that happens, that's not a good client to work with.
Ever.
You don't have to like think about if it's you or your work. It's them, 100% them, 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. Because it's a business relationship. And if people aren't treating that relationship like a business relationship, like honesty is obviously important. But if things get personal or outside the realm of business, then you got to just remove yourself from that situation. In that case, having a contract is your best friend, because then there's going to be some easy way for there to be like a kill or an end to the project that you can just kind of like get out of, walk away from, and move on to better and brighter work.
I agree 100%.
Cool. So is that all you've got? This is all I've got on this topic.
No, that's all I've got. I think this is a really, really important lesson. I'm still working on it myself. So don't feel bad if you're in the same boat as me. But yeah, I think that's everything we need to talk about.
Cool. Yeah. And it's a constant, like it's constant work. Like I still work at this as well. Like I don't think this type of work ever kind of ends, like figuring out the best way to talk to clients about feedback and get feedback.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast.
Don't forget to leave us the ratings and the reviews on iTunes.
And be sure to check out our course, The Creative Class. You can find it at creativeclass.co.